Holding on, Jack Bruce. You better believe I'm holding on, Queen Jack Bruce. Holding on, you better believe I'm holding on. Holding on, you better believe I'm. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. What's going on, everybody? This is Sisters United. I'm working on a little jingle, but it's gonna come together. I am excited. I am very, very excited about what God is doing. You know, what's going on, Gloria? How you doing?
Hi.
All right.
Doing great.
We're going to be waiting on Vita to chime in, and Rita, if possible, will be chiming in for us today. You know, we're getting closer and closer to Christmas. You know, I know a lot of people are saying, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. But we also want to celebrate life. We want to celebrate family. We want to celebrate just everything we can, because we could have been up out of here. You know, COVID, like they say, is sweeping the nation. And we have some families that we need to keep in our prayers. You know, we have just so much, you know, that we need to be thankful for and to be praying about, you know. Okay. And so I just want to just ask everybody to just keep people in prayer. You know, try to have this season, try to be more sympathetic and more kind to one another. You know, we got a lot of folks, don't come for me and all this kind of stuff. Listen, for right now, let's just put that to the side and let's really try to work with each other. Let's just try to be more accommodating towards people, because it's so much that's happening in this world that folk have to be worried about their bills, working, and all that kind of stuff. That, you know, we really just, we don't need all this fighting, and you know, it's just, let's try to make somebody smile. Let's try to show somebody our heart, you know. Let's try to show some people the love of God. And just be there for now with family. Let's try to, when it comes to gathering, I know y'all saw last week's show, do's and don'ts for Christmas. And then we went into bad relationships. Jesus. Oh my God. And we had a lot of people to respond to that show. Because there's a lot of people that's dealing with relationships. They don't know if they are bad relationships or you know, or if they are just in a rough patch or what's going on. You know, we have to be responsible, trying to be responsible with this platform to let you know that we're not here to break up people's relationships or tell people, you know, if it's physically abusive, emotionally, mentally, all that. You need to get out of it, straight up. Just tell you straight up. But if y'all are just arguing, you know, in disagreements, you know, y'all may need counseling. You know, you need to get into some counseling, some spiritual counseling. You know, I suggest spiritual counseling.
Yeah.
How you feel about it, Glory?
I really do believe that before you even get involved in a relationship, I think that you have to get your mental health together. I believe that so many people get into relationships broken. So before you say, yes, you want to commit, you know, make sure that you're committing for the right reason.
That's right.
So if you're coming in with the wrong motive, or the wrong intention, you know, then it can destroy the relationship. So, you know, I really would say people should really get their mental health together before they commit in a relationship.
That's true. And one of the things that I find that we don't discuss a lot in our community is mental health. I mean, we're talking about it a little bit more now. You know, we have had Taraji talk about her dealing with her mental health. We've had a couple of people, you know, come out and begin to talk about what they are battling with, you know, with their mental health. It's just the stigma that follows mental health is kind of damning for a lot of people. They don't want to be called crazy. They don't want to be called, you know, people to think that they are unstable. You know, it's a stigma that comes along with dealing with mental health, but it's very, very important that if you have a problem to admit it and get help. Because it not just affects you, but it is affecting everybody around you. You know, we're handling people. For example, you know, I always testify, you know, about how I was in a tumultuous relationship. And I found out later that he was dealing a lot with mental health since he was a boy. You know, when he became an adult, he decided to go off of his meds. Mm. Now, I didn't know any of this. I'm dealing with a grown man, you know. I'm saying to myself, this is a grown man. He crazy, you know, not knowing that he was dealing with a mental health problem, you know. Then after he passed away, his sister decided to tell me that he indeed had mental health issues. And hey, Vita Beta.
Hi, boo.
We're talking about mental health, you know, and the stigma that follows. Mm. I was just giving a testimony of how when my husband passed away, his sister told me that he had mental health issues. And so a lot of the battles that we were dealing with inside of that relationship was due to him not being on medication, you know. Mm. And I feel like we have a duty to each other. If we know this, if your brother or sister married somebody and they are not telling their person about this, we need to have a family meeting, you know, because that other person, now he was dealing with, I think it's emitted or something like that, explosive disorder, where when he get too stressed, he's going off, you know, mm-hmm. And he's not going off at 5. He's going off at 100. You know, and yeah. Everybody needs to get somewhere and be still, but he's still coming after, you know, and ultimately he committed suicide, you know, and I felt like I'm not saying I could have helped him, but I could have got him some help. You get what I'm saying? I could have, just like I can, you know, sometimes we don't understand how much power we have in someone's life. You get what I'm saying? But as a spouse, as a woman in a person's life, a man's life, he looks to you. You get what I'm saying? So I felt some type of way, I'll just put it like that, when I found out that's what he was dealing with, you know, and what was, you know, affecting my household. So, yeah, mental health in our community, we need to address it. We really, really do. How do you feel about it, Vita?
I definitely believe in that. It's definitely a stigma that the Black community wants to sweep under a rug, you know? And like I, you know, I've said in earlier broadcasts, it is nothing wrong with getting your mental health together. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you have to talk to a shrink or whoever you have to talk to, you know what I mean? It's like, everybody's like, well, God, you know, they'll be like, God is going to get me through this and God's going to, but see, God set people in place. You see what I'm saying? He set people in place to be able to help his children.
Come
so,
on.
You know, he set people, he set psychiatrists, he set psychologists, he
Come
set,
on.
You know, pastors, he set these people in place to be a help to his children.
Come
so
on.
People shouldn't be ashamed. They shouldn't, you know, be ashamed of getting the help that they need. And the thing is, the first thing is they have to admit that they have a problem.
Come on.
That's the thing. A lot of people try to hide it, you know, and be like, hey, ain't nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong. Girl, you was just happy. You know what I'm saying? You was just happy and now you done just went off.
Wow.
Now something is going on in your mind. You know what I'm saying? And it's just people have to get that stigma of sweeping it under a rug, you know, out their system. Like, the thing is, if you need help, come on, man.
And you know, like that sweeping it under the rug thing, and I go back to our community because I'm Black. Mm-hmm. I'm alone. You know what I'm saying? I'm
gonna
be Black. When I wake up, I'm gonna be Black. So
that's
I'm gonna talk to my Black people, you know. One of the things that we do is sweep things under the rug. It's this thing that says, I don't want people to feel like something is wrong with me. But I need you to understand that if you know that something is wrong with you, it's okay. Because you can get help. You know what I'm saying? You
Definitely.
Can get help. When you're dealing with depression is so crippling. But it's so cunning, too, because you won't even realize that this is what you are dealing with. You just are in the bed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have body aches. You know, you cannot, you know how they say the glass is half full, the glass is half empty. You are always on the glass is half empty. You know what I'm saying? You are seeking a lot of attention from different, you know, it's something going on with you, or you'll fall in a funk and you'll stay there for a long amount of time. It's hard for you to get out of. And like you talk about medicine, you have to go and talk with the right people. When we talk about depression, I want to give the right information because I dealt with depression. And when I went to the doctor, they told me, they said, it's an imbalance. When you have suffered through a lot of things, like more negative than you have positive, or whatever, it causes a chemical imbalance in the brain. So it's like a pattern. You get what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm down. You know, okay, I'm down. Okay, I'm down. So it's like your brain gets conditioned to be being in a low, dark place. You know, some people, I love to stay in the house. Every time you walk in their house, it's dark. You know, it's nothing's done. The house is all over the place. And all they're doing is just sitting there eating and watching TV. That's a sign. And we as friends and sisters and siblings and, you know, we need to be able to speak up and say, I think something's wrong. I think something's wrong. Something's going on. What you think, Glory?
I believe that depression is there's a root to it. I feel though some people isolate themselves for so long that it pushes them to suicide. I believe that depression, I've dealt with depression like really, really bad. I believe the first like couple of years of me being married, the idea of believing that this fairy tale of what marriage was supposed to look like, what it was supposed to look like to society, to social network. I went through depression because I didn't know what marriage was. I didn't know what came along with marriage. I didn't know when I was marrying the my husband that I was going to marry everybody in his family. You know, I didn't know the task that came along with being married. I didn't know that I would have to, you know, deny me for his needs. You know, sometimes, like, I didn't know. You know, I got into this thing and thinking, okay, this is going to be good. You know, I'm mad, blah, blah, blah. Like, all my ideas of what the media have painted this picture of what marriage is supposed to look like. And, you know, I've never really seen the real behind closed doors marriage. Yeah. I've always seen the book, you know, the cover of the book, but yeah. I've never really seen the pages and what's written. So I went through depression for the first 2 or 3 years. You know, I had to find me in the marriage. I literally shut down. I lost my mind, literally. Like, I didn't know who I was. I was so numb. I didn't even want to take care of my children. That's how bad depression was with myself. You know, I just lost myself. I had no confidence. And how did I get out? Like, what did I do to say, okay, I can't do this to myself. I literally believe that if you don't have a relationship with God, you will be destroyed when you go through depression. I had to have a relationship with God first. I had to figure out me. I mean, I talked to so many people, church people, religious people. They can give you scriptures, but they can never really give you the medicine to your pain. Like, you know, they would throw God at you so hard, but it's like, okay, when I leave from you, when I go to my place, depression hits me again. I'm still feeling this weight on me. So, you know, it's not religion. Religion can't get you free from depression.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that's what I went through. And the only thing that freed me was I had to make up in my mind that I wasn't going to die like this. I had to literally see myself for who I was and to accept what was going on around me and to figure out what can I do to find my joy. Like, I had to stop looking for joy in my spouse. I had to find joy within myself.
You can say that again.
You know, okay. Like that's how, and from that moment of, you know, even, you know, I had to find, you know, time. I had spent a lot of time with God, but I was still broken. I was still broken. It wasn't until I changed the way I was thinking about the reality of what my situation was, is when I came grasped to myself. You know what I'm saying? That's when I realized who I was, because I didn't know who I was. I got married not knowing who I was. So how can I be a wife to this man if I don't know who I am? You know what I'm saying? So that was something big in my life with depression.
What can I do to find my joy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I like that, you know, not that we're going to drift over into marital counseling, because I will do it. I will do it. But that's true. You know, like I said earlier about depression, you will, until you, how do you know that you are depressed? Okay, so you're talking about mental health today. How do you know that you are depressed? Okay.
Isolation
is one of them. You lost interest in the things that you love to do, you know, that you just got to do. You know, you just don't feel like doing it anymore. You have taken on a negative mindset. Mm-hmm. Okay. Every conversation you have is about how people have done you wrong. You know, see, depression ain't just being locked in the house. Some folk are walking depression. You know, you are active in your depression. You are, you know what I'm saying? But every time you get in a conversation with people, you bring the conversation right back around to what, right back around to what people have done to you. You get what I'm saying? and so as friends, again, I'm going to throw this friend thing out there. As friends, you have to be bold enough to say, listen, sis, you know, I'm going to call you a little later. I want to talk to you about something. Matter of fact, try to do it in person. I know you got, you know, wear your mask, do what you do. okay? Take them out to lunch. You get what I'm saying? Right. And have a talk with them, because some people, again, may not know that they are dealing with depression, you know? And you may have to be that one. And one thing that even in mental health all the way around, one thing that I have noticed over the past 10 years is people don't want to deal with people. We don't want to deal with what we say, I'm a friend. But as soon as they get to telling you that they have a problem, let me help you with something. You have a divine appointment with whoever comes into your life. I'm going to tell you why. If somebody turn and they talking to you about what they going through, the enemy wants you to take on the attitude, oh, they get on my nerve, oh, they always complaining. No, God wants you to see a red flag. God wants you to see that something is going on with your friend. If you claim you a friend now, something is going on with your friend. And you need to be able to, you need to say, Lord, show me what, you know, tell me what to say. Show me how to reveal to them that they are going through something. Show me how to be a real friend in this situation. You see what I'm saying? That's just like I said, I have dealt with a spouse that committed suicide. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that knocked me into a real, real crazy place. Yeah, I caught hell when I was in that marriage. You understand what I'm saying? But when I found out that this man was dealing with a cold-blooded, you know what I'm saying, situation in his mind, I was like, Lord have mercy. Why didn't his sister say, why didn't somebody, you know, then after he passed away, everybody want to tell. We need to be there for our sisters and brothers and stop throwing people away. Yeah. Please stop throwing people away. We got this habit, oh, you're not on my path. You're not going my direction. Oh, I don't want to deal with you. Oh, you're so negative. If you're a real friend, I'm not talking about strangers, because sometimes God will send a stranger in your life for you to minister to them. But if that's your friend, you claim that's your friend, you're going to stay with them. You're going to hang with them through their hard times. You're going to stay there when everything is looking like they are just falling. Yeah, you're going to stay right there so they can have a safety net, because we don't have time to be giving up on people right now. You do not have, because let me tell you something. When that hard time hits your life and you in a dark place that you can't get out of, you're going to need somebody. You're going to need somebody. Let me tell you something. I went through some of the hardest times in my life by myself. Right. And I said, I always tell people, hey, call me, vent, say what you need to say. Guess what? I put it on speakerphone and I listen to everything you got to say. You can put it on speakerphone and still be working, but listen to your friend. Because guess what? That phone call could be the difference in them hanging themselves. That man hung himself. Listen, my husband, I'm going to tell you, my husband hung himself from a doorpost. Do you understand? They found him days later. Do you hear me? By himself in that apartment. They found him, y'all. By himself. By himself. You understand what I'm saying? By himself. And I'm telling you, I know that we think we so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. But let me tell you something. I'd rather be over there listening to every negative thing you got to say than to get a report that you gone from here. I had so many friends and blew the back of their brains out. They found one of my classmates on top of the house. He done killed himself. And they found one of them in the tub. He done killed himself. Somebody died of overdose. This is not the time. I just want to let you know. We got to get ourselves together. We have to get ourselves together. Look, on social media, it's been so much promotion about separating ourselves from this person and that person. And I can say pick me, because sometimes I'll say, you know, you could do without this, do without that. But you got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and know why God had that person to call you. You got to be sensitive. Do you hear what I'm saying? You got to be sensitive. I'm telling you, Lord, yeah. In the name of Jesus. You got to be sensitive. This ain't no time to be playing, y'all. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
And you know what? A lot of times, the mental health, the depression stems from past experiences. You know what I mean? And it goes again to you sweeping stuff under the rug. We gotta get these molestations, the youth. We gotta get that. Come on, we gotta bring that to the forefront. You see what I'm saying? We gotta bring that to the forefront to get our mind clear. We do, because if we constantly replay, you know what I'm saying? And if we constantly replay these things in our mind, these past hurts that have happened to us. And I mean, you have really no choice but to go crazy, but to, you know what I'm saying? So it just goes to show you past things that have happened. Come on, it has to be talked about. It can't be swept underneath the rug, because you have a lot of people, you have uncles that mess with the nieces and that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Just different things that have happened in family. Yeah. And just so the uncle won't feel bad, or so he won't look bad, you want to sweep that underneath the rug. You have the little baby, you know what I'm saying, who's hurt, who has experienced something that they weren't even supposed to experience their married life, until their adult years. You see what I'm saying? And we just sweep that, baby, just, you know, we just can't sweep these things underneath the rug anymore. You know what I'm saying? And it has to be, you're going to have to be that one to stand up in your family, you know, and be like, hey, look, I don't care if we got to call the laws on Uncle Leroy, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever may have you, this stuff. I mean, because it happens so much.
Yeah.
And then deal with these hurt people. Deal with these people, you know, a man going crazy. Oh, she a little crazy, but she a little crazy because she got touched on when she was
four.
You see what I'm saying?
Preach.
Come on, he's a little crazy because Uncle Pete touched on him, you know, when he was three. And ain't nobody saying nothing. Come on now. So it's just like, we got to bring the things that past experience to the forefront. It cannot go on anymore. And I'm speaking on my behalf. I'm speaking on families, period. It just has to come. I mean, I'm not, and my thing is, I can't and I will not sit down and allow this to even happen. You know what I'm saying? Because I know the effect that it can have. Come on, in the mind.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, bipolar,
come on.
Whatever, depression, whatever it may have you, that stuff stimulates from past experiences.
Yeah.
And we just, we have to sit around and talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have to, come on, it's no excuse. We can't cover stuff up. We just can't do it. You know what I'm saying? We cannot
Absolutely.
Do it. Absolutely. And I just pray. Come on, if anything has even happened in your family or things like that you just bring it to the forefront. Come on, and that's right. Come on, that's right. The generational curses, because you know what? It'll continue to go on. It'll continue. It'll pass on. Uncle Pete did it. Now cousin Johnny doing it. You see what I'm saying? Because it done passed on, and she is Lisa. Look, Miss Tebow,
yeah.
You not playing. Them generational curses. Come on, that's what it is, man.
You know what? I'm glad you were going there, because I was in my mind. I said, Lord, because we don't understand that rug has been it. Let me tell y'all something. This young man had been raped by his uncle, right? And when he grew up, he continued to be involved in relationships with men.
Yeah.
He told me, he said, I never felt like I was gay. He said, but something happened to me. And this is what God showed me. He said, the enemy robs children of their identity before they have an opportunity to find out who they are. He said he robs them. And then what we do is, see, we have the responsibility as parents. When your child comes to you, and I'm talking to somebody, when your child came to you and said, Mama, so-and-so touched me, You were supposed to go to so-and-so and deal with that. Mm-hmm. You wasn't some of, oh, that girl, you just hot, you just fast, mm-hmm. you just this, that, and the other. Yeah, I'm coming against all of this stuff we used to say old school. Oh, you just fast. Oh, you manage. Oh, you this, that, and the other. Well, I'm coming at you right now. You, what you did was you signed a signature on the generation curse. That's what you did. And we come against it today in the mighty name of Jesus. That's what you did. Oh, you'll be all right. I heard this, the young man that told me his story. He said, you know, I sat him down with his parents. And you know what his mama told him? You need to get over it. You need to get over it. And I looked her square in her face and I told her, I say, let me tell you something. I say, I come against that spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I cast it back to hell from which it came. I said, you need to break this curse off of your son. Do you understand me? You need to speak it out your mouth right now. I said, because he's 40 some years old. How can he get over it? And he's 40 and it's still on the front of his mind. You are responsible. But listen what we found out. We found out that she was molested. I'm trying to help somebody today. A lot of times folks gloss over stuff because they ain't dealt with their own stuff. They ain't dealt with, you ain't capable because you don't know how to heal. You can't help him heal because you don't know how to heal. You ain't
healed. Come on.
Your mama kept what happened to you a secret.
Come on.
There's some people today that they daddy is their uncle. I'm just, oh, Lord, have mercy. Their dad is their uncle, you know, and everybody done swept it under the rug. We're going to give this baby over to this person over here, and we ain't going to never tell nobody. Do you know that rather, even if you ain't told nobody, that's still going to repeat somewhere in that line?
Come on, man. Come on.
It's going to repeat. Listen, I know everybody trying to get in the Christmas spirit, but hey, listen, all of this got to do with Jesus. You want to be your family to start acting like they love each other or really loving each other? Throw that rug out the house. Do you understand what I'm saying? And deal with what's going on under. I'm telling you right now.
Come on.
Because what it's doing is killing your family from the inside out. It's killing your children generation after generation from the inside out. You need to get rid of the rug. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. It's some folk right now dying by themselves because folk don't want to deal with them because they know what they did when they was a kid. Let me tell you something. It's time to throw the rug away.
You know what? I don't even know how we get on this conversation. We didn't even come here with a topic, but this got to be talked about, because if you look around the world, everywhere, there is somebody that's carrying unforgiveness because of what they daddy did to them when they were 5 or 6 years old. You got children, girls, boys that are out here with identity confusion that want to marry the same sex because they got confused. They was violated. It's called the spirit of perversion.
Oh,
they
come on.
A spirit of perversion that got on the child at 3 or 4 years old. Now this child becomes a teenager wanting to be with the same sex. And they don't even know how they got there because something that happened that never was healed. Nobody never talked about. When she went to go tell her mama looked at her like, oh, no, it can't be true. Like, it is true. If they come into you and tell you that it happened, it's true. It's your job. It's the parents' responsibility to go and find out how and see how to fix it. Like, you got to do whatever it takes to make sure that this child knows that if they are a victim of being molested or, you know what I'm saying, being manipulated or violated, you need to make sure that the person who did it gets, you know, criticized for it or whatever, you know what I'm saying, punished for it, because if not, they're gonna think that it's okay. Oh, he did it to me, he got away with it. I can do it to somebody else.
My God,
it's repeating itself, you know what I'm saying, because they see that you ain't do nothing about it. So if I go and do something to another child, they got away with it, I can do it too. And then it keeps it the same spirit that never got destroyed when it first happened is the seed. That seed that planted, it just keeps growing. It keeps growing. And then that person have a child and they molest their child. And then that child molests their children. It's just a repetitive spirit that goes on in a family. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we as a community, we don't know why our children, or you know what I'm saying, our mama, our daddy, our uncles have a certain attitude, or they respond to things in a certain way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't even know where it comes from. But now that I get educated about certain things, I'm realizing that these are some things that people went through that they never talked about. They just swept it up the rug and kept moving. You know what? I hate the term, you got to lead while you bleed. I hate that term. The reason why I say that, because so many people are in ministry and they're leading people. They're poisoning people while they're bleeding themselves. They're not healed. They're operating in a demonic activity and they're leading a people. So that same spirit that they never healed from, the same spirit that has attacked them, that has perverted them, and they're operating, they're going home suffering because they don't know how to heal from it, because they don't want to expose it. They want to sweep it under the rug and keep leading while they bleed. We got to destroy that spirit, because I'm seeing it too much, and nobody is getting healing. Nobody's getting breakthrough because nobody want to expose their reality of their true selves.
And you show right. You show right now. I'm going to tell you what the Lord just dropped in my spirit, and I'm going to share it, because we always talking about what these men are doing to these children. But baby, let me tell you about these women.
Come on.
Let me tell you about these women. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, since we exposing today, glory to God. I'm talking about how when a young man becomes 16 or 17 and the daddy, he's scared that the son gonna be gay, so he decide he gonna go and make him sleep. I heard about it. Make him sleep with a woman. Send him in to sleep with a woman. See, old school men used to do this to their sons. Let's go back into time, like they say, and talk about how men used to go and send their sons in with a prostitute when they turn 18 and stuff like that, to show them, to say that they have become a man. You understand me? Let me tell you something about that auntie that used to keep your little boy and while you at work. Yes. And she decides she gonna go in there and she gonna touch him, and she gonna do this and she gonna do that. Yeah, while we exposing men, let's expose what some of these perverse women are out here doing with that spirit on them. I'm just trying to help you today. You better watch who your son is around. Come on now. I watched who my son was around. I'm going to tell you right now. He loved to carry women groceries. He loved to do all of this. But guess what? Before he turned 18, I watched every woman that turned around and said he was so handsome. Oh, look at him. He chocolate. I say, get yourself on somewhere with that spirit. You are grown. Why would you be saying that to my son? Oh, he'll tell you. His mama was crazy. Yeah. Just like you watch out for your girls, you got to watch out for your sons. I'm telling you right now with these women. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we got to expose it all. Let me tell you, this is why healing can't take place. You can't conquer what you don't confront. If you don't reveal,
write that down.
I like this exposure. If you don't expose the devil, let me tell you something. It's a lot of things in my life that people say, oh, why did you tell that? Oh, why did you say? Because when you shine light on what the enemy is doing, he has nowhere to live no more. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you begin to talk about it, that's why he lives in secrets. He lives in dark places. He lives, Lord have mercy, Jesus. He lives, praise God, in deceit. That's why it's important that when it happens, you say something. Right then, don't wait. Give it time to manifest. Give time for that spirit to transfer to somebody else. You give time for that spirit to go and taint and mess with somebody else. You got to go ahead and say, this is what happened on this day. And I'm going to say this to somebody that's listening and say they won't believe me. I don't care if they won't believe it. Tell them anyway. Tell them anyway, because when you tell it, it breaks the generation curse off of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they want to carry that generation curse, let them carry. But if you want to be free and you don't want your children to go through this, Oh, Lord, have y'all got me preaching this morning. If you don't want your children,
I'm taking notes.
Then you go ahead and you expose it. They don't, listen, let me tell you something. How slick the enemy is. He'll tell you you'll be embarrassed. Folk will not want to be around you. Well, I'd rather folk not want to be around me than to sit here and pack around a generation curse for, come on, and watch my children suffer. Let me tell you something about a silent generation curse. This is the person that ain't molested nobody, but they got it in their mind. So they stay away from little kids. They separate themselves from different folk so they won't be tempted to do it. Oh, yeah, it's some folk out there that ain't touched nobody yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you how slick the enemy is. Y'all got me preaching this morning. I'm going to just...
Yeah.
Go ahead. I see you want to say something, Vita. Go ahead. Go ahead, Vita.
Nah, I'm just over here agreeing and agreeing and taking notes, you know. Like you say, I've been in some predicaments, you know, like that, to where I wasn't afraid to call it out. You can't be afraid, you know, to call any of these things out. You know what I'm saying? And when you want change for your family, when you want change in your circumstance, you just got to call it for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you have to call it for what it is.
Yeah.
And I just, in my prayer, just, and this is just even the prayer for a nation, the prayer for families, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's to call everything for what it is and to get healing in those areas, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you have to, that if when the situations happen, you have to have a healing at, you know, about the situation, point blank period. You have to.
I just
pray, because many children are going through that right now. And I just pray and I just call out that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and cover and protect and comfort, you know, those different areas.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? That's when it goes into, we just have to be in the intercessory mode. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to these things. Because even though we're talking about this right now, we still going to be dealing with sweeping under the rug. We still going to be dealing with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I heard, you know, you should do this, but I'm still scared. But one thing about it, God has to give you a spirit of fear.
Yeah. Come
on. And he's going to cover you. Come on. And whatever, come on, he has set out for you to do. So one thing about it, one thing about it is he has set out, come on, for you not to cover this up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has set out for you not to hide anything. So he's going to give you that spirit, come on, to bring everything to the forefront. And that's the main thing. It's just bring these things to the forefront.
That's right.
And one thing about it is that a lot of the children who are, these things are happening to, God has called them.
Come on.
I'm going to say that again. God has called them, come on, to a thing.
They chose.
So, of course, the devil is going to come in any way he can.
To destroy.
Come on, to try to distract, to try to stop, to try to not let the things go forward.
That's right.
And one thing about it is this generation here, we didn't talk about past generations, all this generation, but this generation here is going to be the one that's going to bring change to a nation, bring change to the world. And see, God is going to, come on, he's going to do a thing with this generation. So we have to intercede, come on, right, on their behalf. You see what I'm saying?
That's right. You wanted to say something, Glory?
I wanted to say, you know, Davida, you're right about, you know, this generation of children and how the enemy tries to manipulate the spirit of fear. If you say this, then you're gonna ruin your mama reputation. Or if you say this, then You know what I'm saying? It, the enemy tries to silence the voice of change, because what happens is, what happens if that one child who opens their mouth up and say what happened, they sister gonna come out. They friend gonna come out.
That's it. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? They cousin down the street gonna come out.
That's
and
right.
That person yeah. They cousin. That's come it. Out. And it just takes that one child to be bold and vibrant and say, you know, this happened and I don't want it to happen no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we do need to intercede. We need to intercede for children all over the world. You know what I'm saying? We need to intercede for these women who's doing it, you know, and don't know how to stop doing it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We need to intercede for these leaders that are in position that's doing it, you know, to children, to each other. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's run so deep, you know, it is necessary for us to intercede for children. It's necessary, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a curse. It's just a disease. It's really a disease that's killing people. From
and it's gotta be cut out.
I say this the most all the time. You would either choose one or two things. You would choose life or death. Life, you opening up and you exposing the very thing that's destroying you to die.
Yeah.
You have to open up your mouth and expose what's killing you anyway. If you want to live, because as long as you're silent, you can keep silent all you want. The only thing you're doing is killing yourself. Every single day, I had to talk about what I was feeling. When I was going through depression, I had to talk about it. Even to people that did not like me, I had to tell them, because I kept holding it in. It was destroying me. It was making me think that I was crazy.
Yes.
The enemy, I used to go, let me tell you how deep depression is and why these seeds that happened later in my childhood life as an adult. I would go walking on a trail, and on the trail walk, there would be like a bridge with water coming, and the enemy used to say, you can just jump and you don't have to worry about being hurt no more. Just jump. It's over with it. You can just jump. I mean, I remember I was to stare at the water, and the enemy used to tell me how beautiful the water was. Dirty. We by, you know, a valley where there's rocks, and as I'm walking, the enemy used to say, look how beautiful that water is. Just jump in there. You will live. You will live. That's how the enemy. This is what happened when you don't talk about.
Oh yeah, he's cunning. Yeah, yeah.
Just jump. Just kill yourself. Hang yourself. Kill yourself in it. That's how the enemy get. This is why it's very important. Don't isolate yourself. Don't get into a place where you don't want to be around nobody, because that's when the enemy really creeps up on you.
He gets to talk. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's, man, we gotta pray for these type of people. People out here, you know what I'm saying, celebrating holidays, but they dying. They out here dying, not from COVID. It ain't just COVID. It's people that's going through depression because of COVID. It's people that's going through depression because they can't figure out a way to pay their bills. People are depressed everywhere. Everywhere I go, you see people stressing. You know what I'm saying? Depression is real.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's real.
Now we start off show talking about mental illness, and I know a lot of people saying, well, what does this have to do with it? I'm going to tell you what it has to do with it, because when people are molested and people are subject to a traumatic experience, it causes their personality to split in two. The person be in front of people,
double-minded,
and at home. And it said, double-minded man, what is unstable in all ways. So that's why it's important that when something tragic like traumatic happens to you in your life, you have to tell somebody.
That's
You have to speak it out, because it's like you have to, when you say it, it comes up and out of you.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm trying to help somebody. When you cry, it brings deliverance. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of times help some people heal right now. When you cry, it brings deliverance. When you are, that's why I pray that we can get back to some healing and deliverance services.
Come on.
Instead of churches talking about prosperity and all this stuff, it says that you shall prosper as much as your soul prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if we can get back to ministering to people's soul and their spirit, praise God, and cleansing. My God, what happened to sanctification and cleaning out your spirit, man, and fasting and praying? Mm-hmm. Come on, he says that his power could come upon you when you receive the Holy Ghost, but you can't receive the Holy Ghost because you got too much stuff in there. Come on. Unforgiveness. Come on. Hallelujah.
Get
your spirit. Lord, heal me in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I want to walk in your presence. I want to know that I am healed. I want to testify with power. I don't want to testify with shame. I don't want to testify with this is what I went through, like I'm still a victim. No, I'm victorious. So how do I do that? I got to decree and declare healing. Then I got to call some folk. Come on. I want to call you Uncle Pete and forgive you for molesting me. I want to call you Wayne Sandy and forgive you for slapping me in my face and telling me I wasn't nothing and telling me I was going to be like my daddy. You got to start calling folk and holding them accountable. And this is what I call it. Give them back their stuff. See, a lot of y'all carrying people's
stuff.
That's
good.
You need to go call somebody and tell them I forgive you. You giving them back their stuff. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to help you. Come on. When they get to telling you, you're not going to be that. You know, when they get to telling you, you ain't going to be successful. You're going to be just like your mama. I had somebody tell me that I was wishy-washy. I say, I carried that in my spirit for years. And then one day I called him, you know what? I forgive you. They say, for what? I say, for telling me I was wishy-washy, and I know I ain't.
Come on.
Some of these things we let people speak into our lives, we let them sit in there and they begin to manifest themselves. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, you never finish anything. Oh, you understand. You just stop letting people give you their stuff. Get their stuff back.
Yeah.
Give it back.
That's all right.
And molesters, and I'm gonna, and look, I'm going to go somewhere. I want everybody to hold on to your seats. They're sitting in the churches. Scouting for your children. Come on. All of these head of the choir and they head of the auxiliary, and they molesting them kids and they giving them candy and they giving them clothes and they doing special things. Well, I'm coming against that spirit right now.
Right
in
now.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm going to tell you why I say in the church. Because guess what? Everybody in the church is an ex-something. Some of them still doing it. They in the church. Where do the mothers and the robbers and the prostitutes, where do they go? They go to the church.
That's it.
Y'all start messing with me. You didn't call that apostle this morning. I just want to listen. Let me tell you something. The enemy tried to destroy me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was molested as a child, went through a bunch of stuff as an adult. And guess what the Lord told me? He said, if you don't start testifying, it's some folks whose soul going to be lost. I said, well, I don't want that blood on my hands, so I'm going to help you today. I don't play with them spirits.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of y'all packing a couple of them. And you packing them all throughout the church. You in the church causing division in the church because you got an issue. You need to be delivered.
Come on.
You're breaking up people churches.
Come on.
You're coming in with a spirit. Jacking up people churches. You need to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And why does that have to do with what I'm saying? It has to do with, because when you bring division in the house of God, it gives the enemy an opening to come.
Open door, yeah.
In the church.
So true. It's so true.
Oh, I'm trying to help somebody today.
Yeah.
It's true. You speak.
Now, today's time, people not coming to the church because there's so much stuff going on in the church. We got all these pastors standing up. Oh, I'm sorry for cheating on my wife. My wife, but she forgave me. What are you talking about? You ain't cheated on your wife. You cheated on God. You got a spirit of perversion on you, and you need to be delivered.
Come on.
Come on.
We got a white being brought down all across America because y'all done decided to be exposed on national TV. I'm sorry, y'all, but I'm trying to help you. How can the church be what we call the hospital if the doctor's sick? I don't know about you, but if I'm going to the hospital, I don't want no doctor that got COVID.
Come on.
I'm trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on. You talk.
How you going to heal me and your leg broke? How you going to deal with me and you can't see? I'm trying to help. We need to deal, this, our culture needs to deal with our stuff from the inside out.
That's
we
it.
Always want to look good. We always want to be wearing the suit and ringing the bell. We always want to look like it, but we don't never want to have it for real. I'm not religious. I don't get on all these religious kicks with folk because I don't have time for that. Half of these, like I heard Gloria say something earlier. Well, you go to the church, you try to get help. I tried to go to the church when I had a husband that was out there commending the church and everything. You know what the lady told me, old school saint? She said, if he cheating, it's your fault. I said, look at the devil.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Look at the devil. Mm-hmm. We need to stop putting our trust in man and put our trust in God. I'm trying to help somebody. Because we all trying to make it in. The same line that the pastor going to be standing in is the same line that the lay member is going to be standing in when they got to stand before God.
That's it.
Just trying to help you today. They done brought the apostle out. So I'm trying to help y'all today. Your child, you need to pay attention to your child. You do not put the church before your children. You do not put the church before your husband. You do not put the church, Lord have mercy, somebody mad right now.
Come on.
You do not, but the pastor won't, if your husband say, I need something to eat. I'm trying to help somebody. Can we just get all under the rug?
Let's go on and get it.
Come on.
Keep it on out.
You do not leave your children at home while you go to church. Can we just get under the rug? Mm. Come on. Can we get under the rug? Where were you when she was molested? Where were you when he was molested? Where were you? And I'm not saying it's your fault, but I'm saying it is your problem. I'm saying it's your problem. Today, we want to disassociate everything. We don't want to take responsibility for nothing. We want, that's on you. Now, somebody needs to stand up for our children. Somebody needs to be accountable for our children. But you can't be accountable for your children because you got so much stuff in your life and in your bag that you ain't even dealing with. I'm trying to help somebody today. Vita then go ahead and turned on the switch. I'm just trying to help somebody today. We need to stop playing games. Do you see what's going on the TVs and all this media and all this stuff that people doing? People are walking around naked. Naked. And you expect your sons to be all right? You expect your daughters to be all right with everybody naked? Mm-hmm. When they are look man on man, completely naked on ABC, NBC, Fox, and your children sitting there right there in front of the TV, you letting the TV raise your kids? I'm trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
My Lord.
I'm glad that we didn't have a topic today. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit just flowed because this is something that the nation is not addressed. These issues are not being addressed because nobody wants to talk about this. Nobody wants to have a platform and talk about real issues that's constantly destroying our people.
Because people won't be popular. They don't want nobody to not like them. They don't want to talk about homosexuality when it talks about it in Romans 2. It tells you, I think it's Romans 2. I find it if you want me to read it to you. He said that the man left the natural affection of the man and turned of the woman and turned to the man and turned to himself. Mm-hmm. And the woman did the same. And guess what? He said, and so he gave him up to a what? Reprobate mind. Just throw that nugget out there for you. For people that say it's not in the Bible. I don't know what Bible you read.
The one that satisfies them.
That, come on.
This ain't about being popular. We can't afford to be running around here trying to be popular. We need to do what God has called. If you're a Christian, I'm talking about Christians.
Yeah.
Because a lot of folks, see, if you're LGBT and all of this, they don't want you to say nothing about them. They want you to approve everything they do. But I don't have a problem with you. I don't have a problem with you. I'm a Christian. And the way my salvation is set up and the way my word is set up, it gave me a certain standard to live by. I can love you. But the Bible say we love you, but we hate to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I got me preaching this morning.
Come on.
I love you. Get this. I love you. I don't want you sending me hate mail. But if you got to do it to try to hand me your bag, that's fine. I'm not going to accept it. You know, but I got to help you this morning. I got to help you. I love you. I love you. I had a best friend that lived a homosexual lifestyle. But when he came over my house, he came dressed as a man.
That's it.
He talked to me like a man. Yeah. He didn't talk to me like he was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Before he left here, he repented and he asked God to deliver him. And let me tell you the story that he told me. He said he never thought he was gay until he heard his mama say, oh, he look a little flimsy, a little sweet. He might be gay. He heard his mama say it.
She spoke it.
And when she said it, it activated something in him, and he lived out his life as a homosexual.
Mm.
He got full-blown AIDS and passed away.
Mm.
I'm a hush.
You got to be careful what you speak over your children. Even when you see something that's dysfunctional, it is not your duty to speak. Words have power.
Words have life.
Say anything because words have a seed, and when you speak it, it plants. And if that child grows up, that seed grows up with that child. And then when that child gets to a certain age, they begin to manifest. That seed begins to be mature. You know, that's the root system. It's a root that's there. That's because you said one thing that changed your whole child's destiny. You got to be careful what we say when we see stuff. It is not, it's for us. And if you are intercessor, if you are a Christian, that means that you need to go into prayer and uproot what you see. Even, you know, because you don't know where it comes from. Things happen in children's life. Kids are exposed to everything, everywhere they go. So if you see something on your child, it ain't for you to speak. It's for you to go and pray.
Come on. And
also, you know what? You have the authority to speak life.
Yes, you do.
You see what I'm saying? You have the authority to speak life over that situation.
Yes, you do.
What you see.
Come on,
you might see this, but God, hey, look, I know that you called them to do this. You have the authority to speak thing. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
And a lot of us, we don't speak life.
We don't know what it is.
We don't speak life. You have to speak life. You see what I'm saying? You have to speak life.
Absolutely.
And oh man, let's just go ahead. Let's just add this one. Just because you mad at that kid, daddy, don't you take it out on him. Don't you get to speak, oh, your daddy is in jail, so you gonna be in jail. And you women that's calling your daughters the B word. You women that's calling your sons MFs. Yeah, I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when they grow up and be exactly what you said, then you wanna say, now look at you, I told you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You spoke it.
You spoke that. You spoke that. Now imagine if you would have spoke that they were going to be president, or they were going to be saved and preaching the gospel, and they were going to be successful. Imagine if you would have took your mouth and said that instead of that poison. Oh, you just like your daddy. Oh, you ain't going to be nothing. Oh, you this, that, and the other. Oh.
Come on.
Yeah, we coming against it. We coming against it. Then these children grow up and don't want to be around you, and you mad because they don't want to be around you. You set that up because somebody came in their life and broke the curse off their life. Come on. And now they don't recognize you.
Yep. It's so true.
Yeah, we done went over that old hour, huh?
We done went over that hour.
Old hour. It's so important. And this is one of the things that I am. Listen, let me tell y'all something. Ooh, y'all brought the apostle out of Lord, Jesus be offense. But the thing is, we got to understand the authority that we have as men and women of God. You have to understand that he gave us dominion. Come on, amen. And
he
gave us the breath of life. He gave us the same power that he has, that when he spoke the whole world into existence, come on, amen, the Holy Spirit moved. Come on, hallelujah. And the whole world, Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
Guess
what? When he breathed the breath of life into us, he gave us dominion. Come on, amen. So everything we speak out of our mouth has the right to exist. Why? Because we have that authority.
Come on.
Now, you need to, I always tell my husband, he laughs at me when I say this. Some folk need to learn how to use your powers for good. Some of y'all, Lord have mercy, Jesus. Did we say we were going to have church this morning?
Come on.
Your circumstances and the situations in your life is the way it is because you spoke it.
That's it.
Oh, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Oh, Lord, what else going to happen? You spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think little Johnny going to do well. I'm going to just go ahead and put him in a trade school. You spoke it.
That's mm-hmm. it.
Oh, my son, he ain't got much book smarts. You spoke it. She ain't gonna go to college. She just gonna have a house full of babies. You spoke it.
Yeah.
Why don't you start speaking that they're kings and queens? You start speaking that they, oh Lord, have mercy. You start teaching them how to speak into their own life since you don't know how to.
Come on.
God hear them faster than he hear us anyway. Teach a child how to speak. Teach a child how to prophesy. Teach a child how to, Lord have mercy. Y'all done got me this morning. I'm trying. I'm trying. Go ahead, Vita. I'm trying. Go ahead. Talk to me this morning. I'm trying to help y'all today.
You helping us, sure. You helping us. I'm over here taking notes. You just got
If you speak it. Now, I'm going to help you with another thing, and then we're going to let you go. I'm going to help you with one more, give you one more nugget. Write it down. That's right to your children. Write it down. We can write the vision for a business, but have you wrote the vision for your children? Have you wrote the vision for your household? Have you wrote the vision for your finances? Have you wrote the vision? Come on, hallelujah.
Come on now. Write that vision and make it plain.
I'm going to go here. I'm going to tell you how powerful God is. Write to if you lost your hair and you want your hair to grow back. Write down, my hair will be this long by this day. Come on, hallelujah, by this time. Lord, I speak it in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to help somebody today. Glory to God, hallelujah. Write it down. You spoke it, now write it down. And watch it manifest itself. Because it said it might not come quick. Come on, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to come. He said they're going to run with it. You write it, they're going to run with it. Come on, hallelujah.
It's all right there.
Can we just go old school? See, people done elevated and y'all, we done got all, but you need to go back to radical praise. You need to go back to Kirk Franklin time. You need to go back and get some radical crazy praise in your spirit. You need to go back to write the vision, make it plain. You need to go back. See, some of us done got too highfalutin. We don't praise God like that no more. You need to start back shouting in your house. You need to start back playing that tambourine. You need to start back. Come on.
That's it.
We want to always call some old school, but it's the school. Come on, I'm trying to help you. You want some breakthroughs? You want some miracles? You want some curses broke off your life? Get a praise in your spirit. Huh? Come on, that'll confuse the enemy.
Come on.
Get a praise in your spirit that'll make the devil say, what you praising God like that for when I just took your car? What you praising God like that for when your bank account is on empty?
Come on.
What you praising God? You got to get so crazy in your praise till your kids just got to get the praise in them with you.
That's it.
You got to praise until you fall out and watch what happens. When you call up that person and say, I forgive you for molesting me, then drop the phone and get the praise. get the praise and God.
Uh-huh.
For the victory. Call
it. That's your breakthrough. Come on.
I forgive you for robbing me. I forgive you for taking all my money. I forgive you for trying to rob me emotionally. Then drop the phone and get the praising. I'm just trying to help.
That's it.
When praises go up, blessings come down. Breakthrough come down. Generational curses being broken come down. Healing come down. It ain't nothing new. It's exactly what it used to be. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore.
All right.
Cut out all this little new age stuff y'all been doing and get back to the basics of praising God. Praising. You feeling low? You feeling like you can't go on? Get the shouting and dancing in your house. Turn on some praise and worship music and begin to dedicate that moment to the Lord. I promise you, God will turn it around.
Every time.
When folk get to talking about me, I turn on music in my house and I just get the old school vibe on them. You don't understand what I'm saying? Come on. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Boy, y'all done made a apostle come out. Let me sit back. Glory to God. God wants to bless us. He wants us. Listen, let me tell you something. When you put your faith to work, guess what God said? I got to show up. My daughter called me. I got to show up.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Oh, she need me. And she said, Lord, help me. I got to show up. When you put Jesus' name on it, he got to show up.
Yeah.
Come on, hallelujah. Lord, I give my children to you. He show up. He dispatch me. He say, all around your kids.
And that's it.
Lord, my house, they try to take my house, but I give it to you. And guess what? He show up.
Every time.
My God, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Every time.
This ain't the day to be playing around. Cut off that TV. I know we binging on a lot of stuff because I binge on stuff. But you know, sometimes I don't watch nothing. The TV don't be up. And guess what I do? I put on, we got all kinds of tools. I put on a little Pandora. And then I put on a little bit of Fred Hammond. Come on. I put on a little, something that'll make my feet move. And forget about what somebody just called me and told me. Oh, you don't have this no more. Oh, I'm not going to get. Oh, this is going to be late. Oh, this. And guess what? When all of it started bombarding my mind, I got out of depression. I shouted my way out.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I had help from the doctors. Yeah. Amen. But then I shouted my way out.
Yeah.
When I got up out the ditch and I was able to grab hold of the hand of God. Come on. Hallelujah. I grabbed his hand and then I started dancing. I started shouting. He said, go ahead. I got you. And I saw a shout.
Yeah. That's all right.
Go ahead, Vita. Go ahead.
All right. Look, you keep trying to pass it to me. That's over there. That's over there with you. Lord. Dude, I'm over here receiving. You over here. All right, go on, Vita. I'm over here trying to receive.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But it's a that's right. Let me tell you something. My daughter loved this sermon I preached. It's called Access Granted. Access Granted.
Mm.
A lot of things that we think are so far from us is right there with us.
When come on now.
You have Jesus. Lord, I want peace. It's right there with access granted.
Yeah.
Amen. When you need some joy, it's right there. Access granted. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to get, listen, this ain't the time, y'all, for us to be sitting around playing with just penny any stuff. Get somebody that's telling you the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. I'm done. The Holy Ghost took over, didn't it?
Yeah, he did.
Oh my God. Look, yes.
That's that on one accord thing right there, man.
Amen. All right, Pastor T-Bone, she said access. That's right. Access granted. Access granted. every door that the devil claimed that he gonna close. Listen, call on the name of Jesus, amen, and say access granted, amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You ought to write, look, get a bumper sticker or something, say access granted. Get some, uh-huh. Let somebody know I got the Lord on my side, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God will open a door that no man can shut, and he'll close doors that no man can open. What is he saying? Amen. When he opened it, praise God, amen, ain't no sorrow with it, and it's yours. Come on, hallelujah. When the devil try to use your past, praise God, amen, to hinder your future, guess what? God said, I close that door, amen, and no man can open it. I'm trying to help you this morning. Y'all
help us.
Hallelujah.
Access granted.
Yes, access granted.
Yes. All right, go.
Look, hashtag access. I think that needs to be a t-shirt. Access granted.
Yeah.
I'm a child of the Most High God. Access granted. Come on, hallelujah. He said that I am the head and not the tail. Come on, access granted. He said that I'm a royal priesthood. Come on, access granted. Come on, hallelujah.
That's all right there.
He said, if I ask for it, he'll give it to me. He said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Access granted. Glory to God. He said, I am your peace. Praise God. He said, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. Come on. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. All right.
Come on.
Go ahead. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Vita. Go ahead and sign out for it. We didn't win.
Yeah.
We just forgot all of it. My God.
Hold on. You need to... Hold on, Apostle Janine. You need to go on in there and put your cash out so we can sow into that word.
Girl, listen. Let me tell y'all something.
So we can sow into that word.
God is so good. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is.
God is so good. Amen. And he wants you to be blessed. Glory to God. We got to clean up our mouths. What that song say? Clean up what we mess up. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Got to take responsibility. Praise God. Amen. For where we are. Glory to God. And we have to understand, praise God, that God has set this thing up for us to be victorious. Praise God.
Yeah.
And it ain't a devil in hell that could keep us from it. If we confess, we receive Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah, and begin to confess with our mouths. Come on, Lord, you said that if I, Lord, you said if I ask it, you said, Lord, you give it to me. Lord, you said you give me the desires of my heart.
Yeah.
As single parent with children, you need to be putting it back in to the Lord. Say, Lord, you gave me these children. Lord, you gave me this house. Lord, you gave me this car. Lord, you gave. Listen, and guess what? He got. He got to show up.
Yeah,
that's it.
I try to give people. God, he shows up when you call his name. He said, "Listen, when you call on the name of Jesus, God said, I got to show up. He dispatched angels. He said, go ahead, handle this over there for her. Handle this. I heard a preacher say he's everywhere at the same time."
That you need him to be. Come on here.
Come on. So he'll be blessing Gloria and blessing Vita. Amen. And turning things around for over here for Pastor. Mm-hmm. That's what he'll be doing. Because he can do it all at the same time. Amen.
That's it.
At the same time.
Man, God is good.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh, he's good.
Glory to God.
God is good.
Oh, my sister on there. Hey, sis. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I have enjoyed my time on here with my girls today. Amen.
Amen.
Have his way. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, access granted. You want to say something, Vita, before you sign out? Then we're going to get glory. Amen.
Let me tell you something. This is DeVita. And look, hey, we'll be back with you next week. I am so excited about what God is doing in this Sisters United, bringing all women together, going over different avenues, different things that'll help bring us together. And I love it. So I just can't wait to see y'all again next week at 10 o'clock a.m.
All right.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Glory. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you watch this video and this video has blessed you, it has encouraged you, it has enlightened you, share the video. You may heal somebody with this video. Please share, share, share. Y'all have a blessed day. I'm signing out.
All right. We love you all. And there's nothing you can do about it. I want you to remember that without faith, it's impossible. Please, God. But with God, all things are possible. Who cares? God cares. Holding on.